York. How you been, sir?
I'm hanging in there, Bill.
What is the baseball getting to you? You sound down here, Berg. What's up?
Just sitting here, you know, being on hold. I'm just wondering what we're going to talk about today.
Me too. Are you – is 24-7, are they into baseball at all?
Oh, yeah, we're big into baseball. Chris Knee's out there in Omaha covering it for Knowles 24-7. He's been there.
I did not know that. Like, I follow him. I should know that.
Yeah, Chris is covering
baseball.
So he's
baseball. Out there.
Yeah, there's about 25 people on the site that are interested in it.
So on the site, 25 would be a very small percentage of your subscribers, correct? Very small percentage.
Yeah, but hey, they're making a run. When I was in college, we would always talk amongst ourselves as friends, and we would always say, what would you sacrifice for a football championship? And my friend, like Florida State was such a football-centric university, and football ran everything, and we would say, like, would you sacrifice two baseball titles and a basketball title for one football? And the answer was always yes. If it meant just one title for football, the answer was always yes. Like, we would sacrifice anything for a title in football.
You should have taken it to another level. Would you sacrifice Florida State's entire baseball and basketball history for one natty? The answer is yes. Absolutely.
I mean, yes. Because everything's second. Even when you get on these, if you're arguing with friends at a bar, if you're arguing on Twitter, everything comes down to football championships when you're talking about your school. Like, and that's what every argument ultimately comes down to.
Is it still the, quote, word that Mike Martin's son's going to take over? Have they said anything yet?
Well, it was expected to be announced about 2 weeks after the baseball season ended, but this baseball season's gone on a little bit further than we expected. From everything I'm hearing, that's still likely the direction that they're headed. And I think a run like this probably helps a good amount if you're naming Mike Martin's son as the next head coach.
I heard he's going to hire Jeff Bowden as the offensive coordinator. Is that what you're hearing?
The offensive coordinator for baseball? I like that. They should have a
coordinator. Correct.
I like that.
I guess I should have said hitting coach, but, you know.
No. I think we should replace the name. More meaningful.
So – what happened – now, I'm just reading. I'm 30,000 feet, so I'm not living it every day like you. What happened to the tight end from Tallahassee who committed to Clemson and said that he was slow played by Willie?
Well, he originally came out when he got by Florida State and said that Florida State was his dream school when the offer came. But ultimately, Clemson offered about 3-4 weeks later, and that's the school he selected. You know, the only thing I can say is he probably, when he was dreaming of Florida State, he probably wasn't dreaming of 5-7 Florida State.
Correct. But he took a couple shots. I mean, I don't know. He didn't say anything totally rude, but he said that he rubbed him wrong because they took a while to offer him. After he'd played in a game where Willie's son played, Willie had plenty of time to see him, and he still didn't offer him.
Right, because he said, I guess, according to Ennis, he was told that FSU needed to see more from his blocking. And they were at his game. You know, the head man was at his game, and they didn't offer. And then they offered a couple weeks later. So I think he was just confused, like, what changed? You know, why did you guys slow play me to offer me anyway after not seeing more blocking? And then with Clemson, it was more of a quick recruitment. You know, I think he had been in touch with them, and they straight up said, hey, we want you to camp. If you come and camp, you could earn an offer. He went, he camped, he earned the offer. And that was the real turning point. He was expected back at FSU 2 days later for another visit, which would have been like his third in about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, fourth maybe. And what happened was he never returned. So after that Clemson offer, I mean, you know, looking back at the recruitment, that was it. He never stepped back foot on campus and committed to Clemson about 3 weeks later. So done and done. And if we know anything from Clemson's retention rate over the last couple of years, we know that this will not be a recruitment that we are going to be revisiting anytime soon.
It's a very good point. It's probably not pointed out enough. Clemson has very little recruiting drama, ever.
Very.
At least last X number of years.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're on top, you can do that. You know, there's pros and cons to it, but the environment that Clemson fosters amongst their commitments is one that, you know, hey, we're all in this together. We're not looking around. We're not playing games, and it shows on the football field.
So you think Dabo's got a bag man whose job is just the state of Florida, walking around down there every day?
No, I mean, I saw, like, we've talked about it on the show, you know, I saw in the early years before they kind of had this leverage and before they had all the mystique, and what they did was just they would identify guys that fit what they do early on, whether or not they're big players or not. You know, just from my personal experience, seeing them target guys like Ray Ray, McLeod, and Deion Kane, and Artavis Scott, and some of these guys, they ended up being great players and highly ranked players, but at the time, they weren't even really on the radar yet when they sought after them as good fits for their offense. So I think that they just stick to what they do, which is great evaluations in terms of what they think will be successful for them, and then also just being open and honest. You know, a lot of people like to say that they have this rule where they can't take visits after you commit. Well, it's yes and no. One of the things that they do throughout their recruitment is let them know of the rule. And it's not really a rule. It's just like, hey, if you're going to be committed here, you're not taking visits, because that's what a commitment is, and we need to know if you're on board and, you know, we can count on you. So I wouldn't say that they're pressured not to. They're more so pressured before they commit to maybe hold off on committing, because if you're not ready, then don't do it, is kind of the thing that Dabo pushes. And I think that's worked well. Other teams will try to replicate it, but it's not one of those things that every team can do. I mean, there's certain teams at the top right now, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, and then, you know, your Big Ten schools like Ohio State, Michigan. Yet they could probably have the leverage to pull that kind of move with recruits, but not everyone does. And when it works really well. Like you said, Clemson hasn't had a decommitment in probably 3-4 years at this point.
What's next on the podcast, the Big Three Roll-Up?
We've been going guest heavy, so we decided we're just going to take a break this week and chop it up, just the three of us. I'm coming back from Florida State camp. Paradise camp is coming up in Miami this coming weekend. UF had some recruiting stuff, so we're going to cover all that on the Big Three Roll-Up. You know, you can get it every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, 7 a.m. Thursday morning.
Berg, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill. See ya.